This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wa usalli wa usallam ala Sayyid al Awwaleen wal Akhireen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barak wa sallam. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be constantly showered upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the Master of the First and the Last, and his family and his companions and all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. My beloved brothers and sisters, to our friends, to our viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for another opportunity in the month of Ramadan to be able to reflect upon his mercy and upon the situation that we are in. The 40 by 40 series is not just a 40 hadith book, but it is 40 experiences that are couched in an environment of the West. And when I say the Western world, I don't mean just Europe and the Americas, but I also mean South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and those countries that fall within this gamut of experience. And so the basis of the 40 by 40 series was from traveling in these countries and experiencing life with the Muslims and the changes we were going through. But now, because of the international connections that people have, it's universal. And alhamdulillah, I have found over the years that Muslims are very similar in their experiences. Their cultures may be different. The environment may be different. Some are in cold countries, some are in warm countries. But that human spirit, when it is connected to the revelation and facing changes on the planet Earth, has a similar nature to it. And that nature is really the basis of 40 by 40. That there are 40 prophetic guidances that are so important to our experiences. And when they were interpreted in real life, real living experiences, they became a type of guiding light for myself and for many people who were coming into Islam, reviving Islam in their own life, and trying to make sense out of what is happening in this chaotic world today. It began as a young Muslim. I embraced Islam, alhamdulillah. I looked at the Muslim world. I used to read National Geographic. I wanted to travel to the Muslim nations. I recognized that Muslims had an amazing history, a history of strength, a history of international progress. There were so many heroes coming out of the Muslim world for me. Two heroes stood out in my early life, just before Islam and then coming into Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, himself. And when I read his biography, his life, it touched my heart because I could feel the universality of this individual, that he actually was speaking in a language that was important for myself, as well as so many other people. The second individual, surprisingly, was Sultan Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi. Very important individual in the Crusades, a great leader of Islam, who even though he had the opportunity to seek revenge and to destroy, he showed mercy with strength. He combined the two. He was humble, but he was fierce to protect the people, fierce to stand up against evil. And so that balance in Sultan Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi and that mercy connected to the great mercy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatan lil alameen, who was a mercy for all of the worlds. This really gave me images that I could try as much as I could to live up to. I had the opportunity to travel in the Muslim world. I traveled through the Middle East, through parts of Africa, to Asia, the Americas, of course, all over the United States, Canada, Caribbean, Central America. And I found that although Islam was such a perfect theory, that the Quran and Sunnah are still in place, that the trappings of Islam, the masjids, the countries, the environment was still there, the shell of it was still there, something was missing on the inside. And when I traveled and interacted with Muslims, I found, although we believe strong essence of Islam, there's a lot of grave worship. There were people who were afraid of the jinn, afraid of the dark, worshiping saints, setting up idols, even idols of the US dollar or the British pound. And so it was a contradiction. I found bribery in my interactions crossing borders. I found problems that Muslims were facing on the inside of themselves, problems with their families, and racism, tribalism, strong divisions within the Muslims, sometimes turning into violence. And so I wondered, what is happening to us? How could the Muslim world, although this trapping is there, how could it fall into what it is falling in? And as from the 70s and 80s and 90s, our calamities increased to the point where we have the largest refugee population in the world. We have major calamities that are happening to us. And so I wondered to myself, what would Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, say to this? How would he address this? What did he leave for us in the way of his prophetic guidance? And this leads us to the second hadith, the second prophetic wisdom that answers this burning question when people looking at the Muslim world, seeing us getting hit from all sides, seeing confusion and wondering what is actually happening. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ummati hadhihi ummatun marhuma laysa alayha adhabun fil akhirah adhabuha fid dunya al-fitan wa zalazil wal qatl. Ruahu Abu Dawud wa Imam Ahmed. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said in authentic tradition, this, my ummah, my nation, is a nation that has mercy on it. Its punishment is not in the next life, but the punishment is in this world. Fitan, zalazil, qatl. Trials and tribulations, earthquakes, and murder. Prophet, peace be upon him, did not speak from himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him from above seven heavens. And in looking at the Muslim world, we find that these three areas can describe the essence of what is hitting us, what is happening to us. Al-fitan was the plural of fitna. A fitna is a trial, it's a calamity, it's a temptation, it's a gray area. You're not sure whether to go to the right or to the left. A confusion. And Sadaqa Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, that confusion hits the Muslim world. And periodically, it hits us when we go off the path, when we become too materialistic, too racist, too tribalist, too negative to our children, or men abusing their wives and their families. Then Allah hits us when justice comes out from our leaders. Then the circumstances drastically change. And a fitna is a terrible thing. You could say to a certain extent that the COVID-19 is a fitna. Not only a fitna because of the medical nature of it, but it's also a tribulation and a trial because of the confusion that is coming in. The confusion with information, the confusion with how people are dealing with it, the confusion with how they are dealing with each other. The fitna also comes in the form of a confusion, a religious confusion. And that is where, right within the deen itself, our understanding of it starts to clash. And it's only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a mujaddid, a reviver to the faith, that Muslims have been able to come out of the fitna and the confusion. The second area is zalazal. And zalazal is earthquakes. And a few years ago, I looked at a study and it was saying that the earthquakes 6.1 on the Richter scale or above, Muslim countries were some of the main areas where these earthquakes were manifesting. But you could also put it with natural catastrophes. And these natural catastrophes are hitting the Muslim world as well as the whole of the earth in an exponential fashion. And so it hits us. And the final point, qatl, murder or genocide, where Muslim blood becomes cheap. And we find when we look at the trials and we look at the murders going on in Syria, the Rohingya Muslims and the Uyghur Muslims and Central African Republic and what happened in Somalia, and we look in different parts, Bosnia, and what was going on with the Muslims, that this genocide has hit us. And so this is like a type of, you could say, pain that we suffer in order to wake up. And so the Prophet is saying, our punishment is not in the next life. In the hereafter, inshallah, if we hold on to our tawheed, then there's hope for us in the hereafter. Even if we become jahannamiyun, or those who would enter the fire for a period of time and then be able to enter paradise, that tawheed, that shahada, when it is sincere and has penetrated our hearts and our lives, inshallah, will help us in the hereafter. But in the dunya, it's not necessarily the case. In the dunya, we are subject to what people are subject to all over the world, and our trials will even be more intense because of the leadership role that we should be assuming. And so this tradition answered a lot of the questions that I had. When I look at the Muslim world, when things happening to us, it comes back into my mind, Ummati hadihi ummatun marhuma. There's mercy on us because we're suffering now. And that suffering, inshallah, can be a type of purification for the next life. It can be a type of correction to straighten us out, to wake us up in order that we will go back to the straight path. And it is necessary with human nature because humans tend to relax when things are going well. Humans tend to not focus on the creator of the heavens and the earth when they are being fed and they are being clothed. And so a wake-up call has come to us and will continue to the day of resurrection. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal would give us that understanding to wake up and to realize that what is going on around us is not a punishment because we're wrong. It's not a punishment because we don't have the message, but a punishment because we're not implementing the message. We're not living Islam. It's one thing to read about Islam. It's one thing to write a book about Islam. But who will live Islam? Who will put it into their lives? That is the challenge in front of us. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, through his life and through what he has left to us, has left a beautiful fresh water well that we can dip into at any point in time and come out with beautiful results. And so this is the state of the nation. The ball is in our corner. And I pray that we can get back up on our feet and stand up for the poor. Stand up for Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Stand up for those who unify and are not basing their life on racism and on tribalism, but stand up for those who are in need of guidance and those who have given this beautiful shahada, this witness to Allah Azza wa Jal. I pray that Allah will continue to bless you and your families and this ummah in this month of Ramadan. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give us success in this life and the hereafter. I leave you with these thoughts. Wa akhira da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.